Hello, all you reinventors. This is Leslie Jane Seymour, and I am the founder of this podcast and also of CoveyClub.com. And my job is to put in front of you the people, products, places, and things that will help you through your personal reinvention, because everybody's reinvention is different, and each one of you may need different type of help or different type of inspiration. And as you know, with this podcast, it's about 80% inspiration and about, you know, we always make sure to leave you with a couple of tips and tricks that you can take with you and actually implement to get you going in the same direction as the people that we're speaking with. So I have a wonderful person for you today, Ellie Steinbrink. And what I love about her is she is an unlikely transitioner into the fashion world. She grew up in the Midwest, and she went into marketing and had one of those burnout moments where she was working for, you know, fine marketing, but just realizing that it really wasn't her passion. And she was always kind of a fashion girl in her own way growing up. And she had an epiphany moment where she decided she was just going to go for it. And I think that's one of the big issues sometimes when we're trying to reinvent. We don't know where to start. So listen to Ellie. Listen to how and where and why and what she did when she started just doing it. It's kind of a just do it story in many ways. But sometimes that's the thing that's going to work for you. And sometimes you will have an inspirational moment where you just say, this is it. I'm going to try it, to hell with whether I fail or I don't fail. Anyway, here's Ellie Steinbrink. She is an expert stylist and personal brand coach and owner of Style Decoded, working virtually out of her home in Omaha, Nebraska. And she is going to also come teach a class for us at Covey Club shortly. So look in the show notes for exactly when that class is, and you can come actually meet her. Here is Ellie Steinbrink. Hi, Ellie. I'm so glad to have you here on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Leslie. It's a joy to be here and talking with you and meeting you for the first time.
Yeah. So let's start with your background, because you have an unusual background that led you into the fashion area, not one that I've heard that often. Talk a little bit about where you grew up and what did you go to school for and how did you start out in your career?
Well, for going way back, I grew up on a farm in Iowa. So I'm an Iowa farm girl. Shout out to all the Midwestern folks listening.
I worked for Meredith. I know Iowa.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a creative little girl. I grew up with two parents who were both self-employed, a farmer. My dad's a farmer. My mom is an artist. And so I've always kind of been around this, you know, running your own thing and having that experience my whole life, you know, understanding the highs and the lows of running your business. But more specifically, you know, as a little girl, I really remember being very into what I was wearing. My mom probably, you know, as a parent now, I understand I probably drove her crazy because I would change, I would change outfits at least 5 times a day to suit whatever thing I was doing. If I was dancing to Michael Jackson, that ages me. I grew up in the 80s, or, you know, playing secretary with my sister or my siblings, whatever it may be. So that was, you know, style and fashion was always a part of something that really lit me up. I found a lot of joy in what I was putting on my body. And that never really went away. That continued just to get stronger as I got older, as I started to define my own identity into the teenage years and into my college years. But, you know, never once did I think, oh, this is something I want to do. I think I always had that practical hat on that said, you must go into a real industry, a real job. And this is not downplaying anybody who should want to go into the fashion industry. I just, for some reason, had this idea in my head that why would I pursue that? Like, I need to go into, you know, something practical that's going to make me money.
It sounds and fluffy. Yes.
It does sound fluffy. Yeah. And it's not that anyone ever told me that. Somehow I just adopted that belief along the way. So, you know, what I went to school for is I ended up getting a business degree at a small college. I really wanted to be in marketing. That was what I wanted my goal to be, to go into marketing. Specifically, I wanted to work at an advertising agency. I knew creativity was something I wanted to continue to flex in whatever career I chose and whatever environments I chose to work in. I remember doing an internship in college where I worked at a law firm.
Oh,
and I remember, and I was doing marketing as an intern for this law firm at the in the city. And I felt like a little bit of my creativity just died in terms of when I went to work, there was an expectation that you wear a suit. And by the way, the suit must be in a certain array of neutral colors, black, navy, and anybody that works in a law firm, it's probably changed now in the present day. But back then, and I just remember thinking to myself, I think I might die if I had to wear this sort of quote unquote uniform, I'm doing air quotes, right, every day. So little impacts like that told me I need to be in a creative work environment. And so I went through school, got a business administration degree, and in my small college, since I couldn't get a marketing major, it actually worked to my benefit. Now thinking back, that I got a business degree with specializations in communication and marketing, it gave me enough to then go work in ad agencies where I spent the next 15 years of my life specifically doing client service. So I worked my way up through the client service ranks, starting all the way from an intern to becoming a director of client services. And I loved that industry. I loved the creativity that surrounded me. I loved that I got to express myself through my style, but something was still just really missing for me. I was completely burned out. By then I had been married, had two children. My husband, his job requires him to work 3 to 4 to 5 days a week. So it felt like I was running the show a lot on my own. And it was just too much for me. And so outside of being, you know, kind of burnout from the work, I also discovered part of that burnout wasn't just the amount of hours I was putting into my work. It was that I wasn't as passionate about the work as I thought.
Right.
And boy, is that a hard realization to come to when you've climbed the ranks of your industry. You know, I spent 15 years.
And you were probably making good money at that point.
I was making wonderful money. I have a friend who's a women's leadership coach, and she often says it's that experience of climbing a ladder to get to the top and realize that your ladder is actually leaning against the wrong building.
Oh, that's a great analogy. Very interesting. Yeah.
And that's exactly how I felt. And I felt kind of panicked. I felt stuck. I felt like, I don't know what I want to do. If I don't want to do marketing, what else am I going to do?
Right.
And so it was just, I was feeling very confused, very stuck. I was having sort of like, who am I conversations? Who do I want to be? It felt so weird to be having those conversations. By then I was 35 years old. And I just felt like I was in really unfamiliar territory. But from there, you know, I kind of had this breakdown and was trying to figure out what are my next steps. And so I was working with a coach at that time to help me sort through some of these questions I was having. And while we couldn't figure out all the pieces of the puzzle at one time, one step I knew I wanted to take was to move to what would be considered a part-time role. My daughter was going into kindergarten at that time. And just given our family situation and the values I have for myself, I wanted to be there with the kids before and after school. So I was looking for a position that would allow me to work during those hours, which I found was, oh my gosh, it's very difficult to find, you know, someone who is at a high level that I was in my career, looking for a part-time role that allows you still to flex your skills, flex your expertise. But luckily, I happened to find an incredible position with a small family-run business, a woman who is a speaker and an author. And I learned that, you know, so I ended up doing all, I was continuing to do marketing. But the one positive step I had made was just to give me some more room in my schedule to sort of breathe. Whereas before, I was working nights and weekends. I was just burning all ends of the spectrum. And I had really no room for myself to just stop and think about what is it that I might like. So this kind of baby step was a really important one for me, not only in the sense that it gave me some more of my own personal time back in my life, but it also, this particular experience gave me some incredible new skills. It was a time when content marketing was really, it had been around for a while, but it was really blowing up. And I got access to some incredible experts in the field. I got exposure to running a podcast, running the entire content calendar, doing so many things I hadn't yet done in the advertising agency. And I was doing this all for like helping one woman build her brand. The brand of the business was built around her. So, you know, that was 4 years of my life where, again, if you remember, I was having this breakdown, wanting to leave the marketing industry, not sure if this was still for me. But I think what kept me alive in those 4 years was my schedule was much more palatable for what I needed. And I was learning some really interesting new things that I was legitimately excited about. So it gave me this infusion of energy. It gave me this infusion of creativity. But I have to say, in the back of my mind, I was still kind of asking that question, is this it? Is this my ultimate destination? And the answer I knew was no. And if you've been in that situation, it can drive you almost mad because you just want the answer right now. And it doesn't work that way, does it? The answer often doesn't come right when you want it. But during my time, this giving myself more space in this 4 years working with this family-run business, doing marketing, it gave me some space of my own time to start to play around a little bit. And this nagging thought, when I had been working with a coach before this job change, you know, the idea of styling, running some kind of a styling business came up. And boy, did that idea scare me at that time. I thought, oh my gosh, that's just, yes, that's what I really, really would love to do. I'd always, during my career had always asked me, you know, can you just come to my closet? Come help me pick out stuff to wear or come shop with me. And I thought,
wow,
gosh, that would be a dream, wouldn't it? But I just, again, like passed it off as like some unrealistic solution for myself.
Right.
So kind of all of these experiences were in the back of my head and I kept saying, no, that's not a reality for me, even though, gosh, would that light me up? Boy, would that just be the thing that would set me on fire. And so this idea just wouldn't leave me alone. And I really remember, this is a little bit of a woo-woo story, I have to admit.
There's a lot of woo-woo in all of these things.
There's a lot of woo-woo.
Things. Yes, but
while
I know
I was
that.
Working, I had just learned how to do transcendental meditation. And so I had been practicing it for about a year. And the workplace that I was at, they actually allowed you to do your 20 minutes of meditation during the day if you so chose to do it. And I remember taking, you know, this 20-minute break at the workplace and sat down to get calm and do my meditation. And I opened my eyes and I don't know what happened at that moment or what things collided in the universe. But I opened my eyes and I said, I need to start doing something with this style thing. Whatever it is, I need to start following it. I need to listen to it and put it into practice. And so it was so clear. And so that next day I woke up and at that time I decided I'm going to take a photo of my outfit every day. I'm going to start creating a channel on my Instagram. I'm going to start sharing my outfits and talking about my outfits, talking about style in general. And I said, I'm going to start this and I'm going to commit to doing it every day until.
Wow. Are you that good at starting a habit like that? Can you just talk yourself into it?
I thought so.
Because that's hard. I teach tiny habits and that and getting a new habit started is not easy.
No, it was ambitious. Okay. Let's just say it was ambitious.
Okay.
But here's the promise I made to myself. If this ever feels like too much, if I get tired of it, if it feels like a burden, if it feels like a hassle, any of those things, I'm just going to stop. Like I put no pressure on myself to, there was no goal. It was just start taking an action.
Yes. And now that I can relate to. We teach that a lot. It's just, even if it's a 5-minute action each day, it creates momentum. That's the big problem.
Yeah.
I think is that you have no momentum to get started and the mountain looks too big. So you have no way to even get moving toward it. You're just looking at this mountain and you're sort of paralyzed, right?
Yeah. And I think at that moment, you're so right, Leslie, because I think if I had said, okay, tomorrow I'm going to start figuring out how to create a styling business and
create
the marketing plan, I would have been totally overwhelmed.
That's right. No.
So this felt fun. It felt playful. It was, you know, actually I kind of was like, I just want to start doing this on the side. It was almost like a hobby, like, a hobby that infused my creativity, I guess. And I wanted more of that in my life. And so that was like the level of commitment I had. It was just kind of like play around and have fun, which ironically is not really how I operate in most areas of my life. I usually am like, okay, there's gotta be a reason. Like there's gotta be a plan. But for some reason, I just let this be the kind of small playful thing that it was. So, I mean, long story short, I never stopped. I was having so much fun.
So you got into it. Okay.
I was having a ton of fun. Sort of the floodgates of ideas just kept opening up. There was more things. I was like, there was endless topics that I wanted to talk about. I had never felt more in my element in my entire life. But remember, I was still working at my current workplace.
Oh, so you were just, were you just posting this online as social media?
Yeah.
You just started a social media channel.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you would have put me in the category of maybe like an influencer, you know?
So you just started that. You didn't have to ask did you have to ask or worry about the people at work, or were you free to do that, or?
Yeah, that felt weird because they all, you know, were following me on social. I think they kind of knew I had this passion. And so at some point, you know, I did talk about it with my boss, who was the owner of the company. And I said, this is just something I want to do for fun. And you're going to be seeing me talking about this and posting things. And I just want you to know, like, I'm still committed to being here. This is just a fun creative outlet for me.
Cool with that?
They were cool with it. And they supported it. They really supported it. And I think they saw me come alive, you know, as a result of that.
Okay.
But within a year of me starting that, this was 2019 when I started. So here comes 2020, and we all know what happened in 2020. So it's, you know, the pandemic hits, and the company I'd been working for is a very small run company based on coaching and training. And it's hard to even think about this right now, Leslie, but at that time, they hadn't really developed anything online. You know, they had not a lot of businesses. Everything was in person. They were coaching, they were doing keynotes, they were training all in person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the pandemic hit, it was very scary for the business. There was talks that things may not come back to normal for two years. I remember the year, 2 years being thrown out and thinking, oh, there's just no way. And, you know, actually that ended up becoming a real thing. So during that kind of chaotic time for that business, there was a few months, you know, that they were kind of trying to sort things out, and they made a decision to cut back on the staff. And I happened to be one of the people that lost their position.
Oh, wow. So thank God you had this, we often talk about, and yet came out of nowhere, right?
Came out of nowhere. And you would think, gosh, that's a really scary thing to have happen at that time in a pandemic when everything is so uncertain. But it was like, I remember thinking, there's only one thing I want to do. And that thing is to start my styling business. This is the time. It was like my shove off the cliff. I'm not one to take big risks in my life. I would say I'm kind of more risk averse. I'm much more calculated. It's not normal for me to just like, let's do this. But everything in me, like when I had the choice between, let's go start interviewing and looking for new positions at a new workplace, or put all of my time and energy into building this thing that I love so much, it was a no-brainer for me.
And then the universe gave you the option to do that full time.
Yeah. And, you know, luckily my husband's job was fairly secure at that time. And so we had the ability for me to kind of take a step back and start to work to build the business, because we know it doesn't happen in day one or even year one or year two. It takes time to build that business. But yeah, I really haven't ever looked back. It's been the hardest, but also the most fun thing I have ever done. And I just crossed my 3-year mark, and so now I'm into my fourth year, and it's a blast. It's a blast. I would never have it any other way. But I think, you know, when I talk about, I went from 20 years in marketing to now becoming a personal stylist and a style brand expert, it seems like such a weird jump. But to me, the more time goes on, the more I can see that all of those little puzzle pieces were coming together for my good. I honestly don't think I could have started this styling business in my 20s, even if I had the passion for it. I think I needed all of those experiences, the good and the bad experiences, the skills I was learning in client service, the skills I was learning to market a business, market a brand, a personal brand. And now, you know, what I'm doing in my business is helping women develop their style brand. I'm, you know, taking that marketing expertise, because we all know that how you show up, how you look, not only, you know, clothes have power, not just because they change how you feel about yourself, but they change how others perceive you. So I consider it to be a part of your personal brand.
Right. So. Good. Yes. And that, I mean, that we know is important. And so are you actually, you're making money and you have a business going. Can you talk a little bit about the business part of it? Because that's what scares so many people. They're like, yes, that's what I would like to do, but can I replace my salary? Yeah. And I have a family to support, or I have these various obligations, and that's the scary thing. Any tricks to the trade of actually turning it into a business? Because I do have some people in the Covey Club I'm even thinking of who haven't yet figured that part out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think everyone's situation is going to be different. I mean, I've heard women say that, you know, for them, the best scenario was to keep working a job while doing this on the side.
Yes, that's a good starting point. Yep.
Yeah. And because of my particular situation where I'll just say I got shoved off the cliff, you know, and put into this scenario. I could have made the choice to go and pursue a steady income. But after talking with my husband about it and knowing that he was in a steady place with his job, his work, that we made the decision, okay, we can do this. We can cut back. We can look at our expenses. We can take a look at our whole financial situation and make some smart choices that will allow, because realistically, you know, one of the most important things, one tip I'll share with anybody considering to kind of step out on their own and start their own business is it was imperative for me to surround myself with other women who were also at different stages of running their own business, you know, connecting with those who were just starting it, because there's sort of different emotional state and things you're worried about when you're just starting, connecting with women who are maybe a couple years ahead of me. So I can learn from them. What were some key things that they did that I can take and apply in my business? But one, I remember, you know, of these women that I was starting to connect with, and now I consider to be kind of like my business besties that we talk, some of them I talk with every day. That support was so important. But I remember one of the ones, the woman who was a few years ahead of me, she said, I just want you to know that it is very normal for a business to take 3 to 5 years to really get established.
Yes.
You know, it was, that felt very,
it's true.
Well, and it felt very comforting and very scary all at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't know that either. It really took Covey Club 6 years to establish itself and also become clear as to what the heck I was doing.
Yeah, I know. And
no one tells you that. We should write a book about that, because it's, there's so many things no one tells you when you start your own business, you know?
Well, and that's where the support of the other women is so key, because those days, you have the days where, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And I want to keep going. And I'm so energized. In the days where you really question and doubt yourself and think, oh, maybe I should just throw this whole idea out the window. And just, you know, right. And to normalize that you're going to be on this roller coaster ride. But so, correct. You know, you were talking about thinking about the business. And so my ultimate goal from day one, I always said to myself, I want to be able to, I know I will have succeeded. I mean, I have now defined multiple ways of what success looks like to me. But if we're just talking about revenue, you know, I thought to myself, if I can replace the income that I had had when I was at the top of my career in the marketing industry, I will feel like I've won now.
Oh God. Yes.
I've celebrated many of the milestones in between, and I'm still, honestly, I'm in year three and I'm still working to get to that goal. But what I think is good indicators to me is that I'm seeing good, significant growth every year.
Good.
And so that's kind of what keeps you going, is like, is there a desire for this in the market? Am I seeing traction? Is there continual opportunities for growth? And I've continued to see that as I've, you know, along this path. And so that's really what fuels me.
Yes. And it's a, you know, it's a long, slow path. And, you know, if you're doing it yourself and you're a solopreneur, it's hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frustrating. And I do know what you're talking about, which is, one day you're like, wow, I just, you know, figured this thing out. I'm going to implement this. This is so exciting. I'm really excited. And then the next day you get some weird thing from somebody, or somebody quits what you're doing and you can't figure out why. And you're like, oh my God, I'm a failure. I'm going to have to quit this. It's not going anywhere. And then literally somebody else will send you a note and go, you know, gee, Ellie, that thing you said to me, turn me, you're like, oh, I'm back on.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
The roller coaster can even be throughout the day, just depending on what's happening. And you don't have, you know, what we used to do in the magazine business is like, you were having a rotten day, your boss said something horrible to you, or a customer wrote a terrible note or something. You just go to the next office, sit down and vent, you know, exactly. But you don't have that.
No.
Yeah, no, but that's what Covey Club is. That's what we do. We do that for each other. That is why you need some kind of, you need a group, you need a posse, you need a sounding board area, because it's too hard to do alone.
Yeah.
It's tough, right?
It's very tough. You need those cheerleaders. And I think the other thing I've really learned is that just keep showing up, even when the times you really don't feel like it. I mean, there's another conversation to be said. When you need a break, you need to give yourself the grace and the space to have a break. But in general, I've learned that even on the days when you're like, I don't know if this is going anywhere, I'm not sure, I'm not seeing traction, just at least do one thing that's going to keep moving the needle forward. Yes. And I would say, whether that's showing up on social consistency or just continuing to reach out to new people, new business leads, just keep taking those steps and keep connecting with people.
Right.
The consistency has really, really been important for me and the growth that I've had.
So what would you say as we come to a close here, if you were going to give someone like me sort of your insider best advice, your best how-to, say three of them, what would they be?
So I think one would be addressing the fear of making very big switches in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that my suggestion would be that don't assume that if you're thinking about making a very big career change, for my example, would be going from marketing to personal styling. Seems like completely unrelated, seems like a very weird switch. But what I would say is don't discount that the things you've learned up to that point are not somehow related and will infuse, you know, and propel whatever the new thing you're doing. It will propel it forward.
Right.
And the reason I bring this up is because when you completely switch careers and you start something new, you can start to feel like you're at the bottom of the ladder again.
And you are.
And it feels very demotivating. It feels just.
I got news for you.
Yeah, it is. And maybe, yes. You're right. It is. But don't discount that you've learned a lot of skills that are setting you a few rungs up.
Right.
And so in those moments where you're like, this makes most no sense, I'm starting completely over, just remember to kind of track back to the facts and connect the dots of, oh yeah, for me, it was, I've had almost 20 years of client service. Hello. That's something you need when you're in a personal styling business. I've had years of learning how to market and brand, you know, market and propel a brand forward, create that, you know, excitement around a brand. So connect the dots. Don't be afraid to make the switch, especially if you feel a lot of energy and passion towards what you're doing.
Right.
Another thing I would say is you mentioned it feeling very lonely and it can feel like you're doing all the things.
Yes, ma'am.
When you start a business. And, you know, in the first year or so, year to year and a half, I didn't feel like I had the money to hire help or hire assistance. And although that's what all of the, you know, systems, coaching systems and programs I was joining at the time were saying, you know, hire someone, even if it's 5 hours a week to do some of your managerial tasks, as soon as you can do it. And that is something I did. As soon as I was able to, I, you know, hired various different people. I'm still a solopreneur. So this is like hiring partners, you know, for example,
Freelance. You're talking about freelance people. That's what I do. Yep.
So, and they always say, you know, as soon as you're able to do that, then it's amazing how that frees you up to do other things.
Yes.
And it's a scary leap at first to start to pay somebody else to take care of parts of your business because it feels like you're losing money. But remember that time is in exchange for you to then put more attention into growing the business. So
thank you for making that point. Yes, that is, I mean, and I think that's, I had somebody who does the Million Women group, and she pushed us really hard at the beginning to hire an assistant. I was like, I can't afford an assistant. What are you kidding me? I've got to do all this myself. And she really pushed us very hard, and she was right. And you feel like, oh, you know, I'm not making any money. How can I hire somebody? That's ridiculous. But it really is one of the keys to getting up and rolling. I agree with you. And thank you for addressing that. Mm-hmm. Well, Ellie, thank you so much. How can people reach you if they want to get in touch with you?
Well, in terms of social channels, the two I'm predominantly on are LinkedIn under my name, Ellie Steinbrink, and then on Instagram at style.decoded. You can also find me on my website is elliesteinbrink.com. And I do have a little freebie for the crowd if they would like it.
Oh, good.
I find one of the things that can be can really hold you back is what's in your closet. And I always say that there's a lot of emotion in your closet. And
yes.
So one of the things I've created is a closet detox guide. So it's my favorite questions that I ask when I like to call it a detox, because when you clean out your closet, it truly feels like a cleanse.
It does. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're right.
So I've created a guide that includes all my favorite questions to ask that really help you be judicious about what's in there and to start to let go of maybe those things that don't represent you or don't fit your body or just, you know, don't reflect who you want to be. as well as kind of like tips for how to get organized as you're doing it and how to stay motivated while you're doing it. So you can find that at elliesteinbrink.com/detox guide. And I think it'll be in the show notes too.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll put it in the show notes. That's fantastic. Ellie, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet you and wonderful to hear your story, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope it was helpful. I hope you learned something. I hope you found some tips and tricks to inspire you. My whole point is that you can reinvent yourself. It's never too late. You do not have to work or live without passion in your life. You do not have to live or work without a sense of creativity and happiness and all of that. Are there trade-offs? Yes, sometimes there are. Sometimes it's financial trade-offs. Sometimes it's other kinds of trade-offs. We all make trade-offs, but we also make trade-offs when we're pulling down a big check and we're miserable. So I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, would you please go to Apple Podcasts, give us a little 5 stars and a review. That always helps other people who are trying to reinvent themselves find us. That's so important. And if you're serious about your reinvention or trying to figure out how to restart, rethink, reimagine, wander over to coveyclub.com, where we have all kinds of, we have articles, we have essays, we have guides all about this, every aspect of it. And if you're really serious, come join Covey Club, because we actually put women together who are working through their various transitions that will inevitably happen to you in midlife. So come and join us, and also subscribe to the podcast, and we'll see you next time. Take care.